You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Discover more about this truth in week 3 of our series, Redefined.
My name is Pastor Edgar, and I'm excited to share the Word of God for you this evening, yung third part of our series entitled, Redefined. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, Redefined. We're actually looking at yung mga famous sermon, the most famous sermon in Jesus Christ called the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so mahaba tong series ito, but I believe we will learn a lot. And talking about redefined, you know, in our day and age, terminology or yung certain terms na ginagamit natin have been redefined because of the usage, because of the context that we live in, especially in light of the new technology and especially social media, na iiba na yung terminologies na, yung meaning rather of the terms that we use today. And I'd like to share with you some of these terms na na-redefine. Okay lang ba yun? And first, okay, we will look at the term text. Text. It used to mean, yung text, it talks about a book or a piece of writing, particularly yung ginagamit natin to study, pag-aralan, right? But right now, when you hear the word text, ang ibig sabihin ng text ngayon is to send a text message. Na-redefine ng konti because of the current usage sa society natin, right? What else? Okay. Another term is the word mouse. Okay. It used to be yung mouse. Okay. Isang maliit, okay? Maliit na animal. Small animal from the rodent and marsupial family. Pero ngayon, pag sinabi mong mouse, anong unang inaisip natin? Okay. It's a pointing device, a palm-sized pointing device ginagamit natin sa computer, right? And then, what else? Okay, the term spam. Okay? Ang spam, dati ang ibig sabihin, a compressed mystery meat. Okay? Meatloaf yan na nasa delata, right? Pero ngayon, pag sinabi mong spam, ang ibig sabihin, huwag mong bubuksan yan because baka may virus yan or baka ma-hack yung computer mo, right? Yun ang sabihin na spam ngayon. What else? Aside from spam, the word tag. Tag. It used to be, yung tag is, yung laro nyo, di ba, pag recess or lunch, maglalaro kayo. Ito yung habulang taya, di ba? Tag yung tawag nyo sa English, alright? Pag English, tag. Pero ngayon, pag sinabi mong tag, because of Facebook, it means naming names when it comes to who's who in a photograph. Okay? I guess for those of you seniors, okay, na wala pang Facebook, tanongin nyo na lang sa apo nyo, okay? Kung ano yung tag. But it's usually sa Facebook, itatag mo yung mga tao na nandoon sa picture or gusto mo makita yung picture, right? So that it's a visual identity forever and ever. Amen, okay? Sa Facebook lang may forever. What else? Aside from tag, lastly, it's viral. Viral. Used to be, ang viral is negative. Okay, ayaw natin magkaroon ng virus, di ba? Kasi nakakahawa yan. Okay, whether it's a chickenpox. Dati pag viral, ibig sabihin, huwag ka nang pumasok for so long. Kasi baka mahawa yung mga klase mo, yung ka-office mate mo. Pero ngayon, pag viral, it's something positive. Gusto mo magkaroon ng maging viral ang iyong mga blog, ang iyong video para kumita ka, di ba? Pag naging viral yon, ibig sabihin mas marami kang subscribers. Kukita ka, di ba? Pwede ka pang lumabas kay Ellen. Maging sikat ka, maging superstar ka. A lot of, you know, several of famous people started with viral videos. Like, yung video ni Charisse or yung video ni Sa and others, right? And so, ito yung mga terminologies na na-redefine, okay, in our day and age. Bakit siya na-redefine? Because of current usage, yung context natin. Because of technology, because of the situation na yung society natin ngayon, na iba yung terminology, na-redefine yung terms sa atin. In the same way, when it comes to faith, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to obedience, some of these things that have been timeless truths, eternal truths, in our day and age, nare-redefine rin because of the context that we live in, because of, you know, situations and ideas, and because of some of the interpretations, okay, of certain people, because of current usage, naiiba na, nare-redefine na some of these things like righteousness and obedience, especially in light of what is called relativism. Alam niyo ba yung relativism? Narinig niyo na ba yon? Alam niyo yung sabihin ng relativism? Nare-redefine yung terms, okay? Depending on your relative. No. Ibig sabihin noon, subjective lahat. Tama, ang galing. Ibig sabihin, walang absolute truth. Walang eternal truth. Ibig sabihin, kung ano man yung totoo sa'yo, it doesn't necessarily mean na totoo rin sa akin. Just because you think it's true for you, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true for me. It's relative. Okay? It's relative. And so, this makes faith, this makes what the Bible teaches, okay, or some of the things that we are adhering to, medyo delikado. We're on a slippery slope because walang absolute, eh. Right? Pwedeng bukas mag-iba yan. Baka ma-redefine. Okay? That's why it is important. Itong series na pinag-uusapan natin for the next several weeks is very, very critical for us. Because we are here to understand, when we say redefine, we are actually looking at how Jesus redefined for us some of these eternal truths that have been, you know, evolving during His time, and He came to actually redefine. Ano ba talaga ang sinasabi ng Bible? Amen? And so, this evening, pag-uusapan natin how Jesus redefines righteousness, how Jesus redefines obedience. And so, I'd like for us to stand up as we read God's Word. Okay? God's Word found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Okay? Verses 17 to 20. Okay? Please open your Bibles and read with me. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Okay? For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Okay? Therefore, whoever relaxes at one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's bow down and pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is timeless. We thank you that even though men try to redefine your truth, try to redefine who you are, we know that you are the eternal truth. That it is not we who redefine you, but you who redefine us. It is not the Bible that will be redefined, but it is your word that will define who we are. And so this evening, I pray that you would redefine some of these things that have been timeless and eternal in light of your word. Lord, I pray for anointing and grace and wisdom as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and take your seats. Now, as I preach this evening, you know, when Jesus came on the scene during this time, during the Roman Empire, He came on the scene, there were a lot of expectations on Jesus Christ. There were a lot of things that people, actually when He came on the scene, He was a very controversial figure. Medyo, kumbaga, in our day and age, parang kinumbine mo siya na President Trump at saka ni Duterte. Okay, very controversial. Because he kept saying things that were grinding against. Kumbaga, parang hindi matake ng mga tao, hindi matake ng mga religious leaders, hindi matake ng ibang Roman authorities, hindi matake ng current status quo. Because he was coming against some of the traditions that were actually against or opposed to what God's word says, to what the law of God says, to the actual design of God's law. Okay? So very, very controversial. And so his followers were actually also thinking, wow, matindi tong si Jesus, para siyang revolutionary. Para siyang, you know, matinding against, you know, against the current status of the religious order, against civil society. And that, iniisip nila, nako, ito yung Messiah. He will overthrow the Roman government. He will change the way we do society. He will change the way the religious practices, okay, are being done. So a lot of people, even his followers, were thinking, nako, si Jesus, babaguhin niya lahat. So these were the expectations of the people. They were thinking he came there because si Jesus, when he would speak, he would talk against the scribes and the Pharisees or against some of their practices and traditions that were, again, contrary to the Word of God. But you know what Jesus did and Jesus declared? He actually declared, because of these expectations of the people, he came there and began to declare and redefine their expectations. He began to redefine the things that were on their mind about why Jesus came on earth. Because in their mind, the Messiah, guguluin niya lahat, aayusin niya lahat, titibigan niya lahat, re-reorder niya lahat. And so that's why in the text that we read, Jesus redefines three things for the disciples. And at the same time, I believe, as Jesus redefined it for the disciples, I believe he's redefining this for us as well. Three things that Jesus, when he came, he made sure to redefine some of these things that were on the mind of the people. And I believe these things that are prevalent as well, okay, in our day and age, I believe as we learn from what Jesus redefined, our faith, okay, will be strengthened. So what are these three things that Jesus redefined? First, he redefined his mission. He redefined his mission. What does it say in verse 17? Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a jot nor a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Again, as I've said, a lot of people thought that he would abolish the law. He would abolish all these practices. He would make away with the law. Because yun ang ginagawa niya. He broke the Sabbath. But did he really break the Sabbath law? Okay? In fact, you know, I'm just going to give you a general principle, but in the next weeks, we will understand more in depth about how Jesus did not truly break the law, but how his mission, as he redefined, okay? Because sa minds ng tao, iba yung mission ni Jesus eh. But he came here with an eternal, from all eternity, pareho pa naman yung mission niya. So when I say redefined, hindi niya binago yung mission niya. Ang binago niya is yung pag-iisip ng mga tao about what his mission was. Right? Kasi magkaiba na eh. So he came and said, no. What you're thinking is wrong. You're thinking wrong. Mali yung iniisip niyo kung bakit ako nandito. Because I came here not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And I believe some of his listeners, some of the people, followers were, what? Eh, ano yung pinagagawa mo? And even the religious leaders were siguro nagtataka rin, ha? Eh bakit mo lagi kami kinokontra? That's why Jesus said, no, I came here So you will understand why I came here. My mission is not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Sabihin mo sa kanila, fulfill the law. He came here to fulfill the law and the prophets. Because his life, how did he do this? He fulfilled the law and the prophets through his life, through his death, and his resurrection. Do you know that Jesus' life and death and resurrection was predicted in the scriptures, in the Old Testament? Now, when I say law and prophets, I'm talking about in the Jewish Bible. The Jewish Bible is divided into three. The law, which is the Torah, talking about the first five books, the Pentateuch, okay? The prophets, okay? Or the Kivitim, which talks about the major and minor prophets. And then the third are the writings. Talks about the Psalms, you know, Ecclesiastes, all of this. So those are the three. In fact, in the Jewish setting, may hierarchy yon. The Torah is the most, kumbaga, yun yung pinaka-holy sa kanila. Among all the three, if you would, that's why when we went to Israel and ministered to them, we would at least to connect. I'm preaching, the way we preach is I preach using the Torah. Of course, I would reference it to Jesus afterwards. Okay, the first five books. Okay? And then first five books in the Bible. Table of Contents. No. Genesis, Exodus. Ano pa? Leviticus. Deuteronomy. Numbers. Okay, very good. Okay, ang galing yun. Nag-L1-3 kayo sigurado. No? But, you know what? Jesus came not to abolish, but to fulfill. To fulfill. Now, I'll tell you why it's so important, why the Bible is so important then, and it is so important now. Especially, as I've said, because of relativism. Do you know that when there is no anchor for our morality, there is no truth to base our life on, then we are actually on very, very scary position. Josh McDowell made this survey and he said, sabi niya, young people, okay, he surveyed the young people. How many are young people? Okay, so remember, God knows who is, no. Okay lang. For the young people, young people who do not accept an objective standard for truth. In other words, ito yung mga relativist. Na, oh, anything goes. Doesn't matter how I live. Okay? I don't think the Bible is really 100% true. So, sabi niya, those who do not believe or accept this, 36% or one-third are more likely to lie. 48% or almost half like more likely to cheat on an exam. Now, hindi ko na mag-ask ng show of hands, no? Pero, okay. 70% or three-fourths more likely to believe in premarital or practice premarital sex. 2 times more likely to be violent. 2 times more likely to watch pornography. 2 times more likely to get drunk. 2¼ times more likely to steal. And three times more likely to use drugs. And 6 times more likely to attempt suicide. Imagine, if there is no objective truth and standard for which to base our life on, we will be living like this. That's why if you look at our society, these are the ills of the society that we are facing today. The values in society. Okay? Especially because our nation is a young nation. That's why for those of you our campus ministers, yung mga campus ministers natin, the heroes in our faith, you have a tall job to inject the Bible, God's truth as the objective standard for the truth. Jesus came and said, you know what? Don't do away with the Bible. I came here not to do away the Bible, but to fulfill. But to make sure that this word, okay, that this word, you understand that this word is eternal. The world, the earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Not even a jot or a tittle. Alam mo yun? The jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The tittle, those two letters. If you want all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you go to Psalm 119. I think there are 20 letters. There are 20 sections, okay? And each section is preceded by a letter. Aleph, okay? Beth, okay? Daleth, and so on and so forth. And then meron doon jot or yod. So Hebrew is yod or jot. Okay? I'm trying to go through Psalm 119 and memorize Psalm 119. But you know what? Makikita nyo doon, the smallest letters in the Hebrew alphabet are those two letters. And Jesus said, not one of God's law, God's commands will pass away, but it will be fulfilled. In other words, you know, the law of God, the word of God is God's will, is God's promise. It will remain. The world will change. The world will be redefined. Things will change. But the word of God will never change. It will remain. And that's why it's a source, it's an anchor for our life. We can build our lives on God's word. And Jesus came, he lived a sinless life. And he died, and all the prophecies that pointed to him, he fulfilled 100%. Because he came here to accomplish, to finish. That's why at the cross, anong sabi ni Jesus? When he was about to die, sabi niya in the Greek, tetelestai. Ang ibig sabihin noon, it is finished. Diba kinanta natin yun? It is finished. It is done. In other words, mission accomplished. He came here to accomplish his mission, to fulfill the whole of the law. He obeyed perfectly. He lived a sinless life, fully obeying the law of God, fully accomplishing the laws of God, the prophecies. And that's why today, because of what Jesus did, okay, because of what Jesus did, we can trust in what he has done for us. We can trust the word of God, this unchanging word of God, this unchanging will of God, this unchanging promise of God. We can put our trust in his word amidst all the changes that are happening. That's why today, even if you don't think, you know, Lord, sasagutin mo ba yung promise mo sa Bible? The promise of God remains the same. It's still yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Even if hindi po man na-receive, it still remains. The promises of God are still yes and amen for you. The promise of God that he will turn around all things for the good. Even if things right now are not, you know, parang hindi, Lord, parang anong wala nangyayari. Let me tell you, hold on to the promise of God. Hold on to the word of God because Jesus accomplished it. We can trust his word for our life. We can trust his promise for you and for me. It is an anchor for you. No matter what you're going through right now, you can trust the word of God. Amen? A redefined mission. Mission accomplished. Next, redefined obedience. Sabihin mo sa katabi mo, redefined obedience. Okay? Verse 19 says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I believe this is Jesus was addressing primarily his disciples, those who are believers, those who are his followers, talking about the least and the greatest. Sabi niya, if you are my follower and you teach others, okay, teach others to do the same, meaning not to obey the entire law, then you'll be called least. Let me tell you, in our day and age, there are two things that we are contending with regarding obedience. And I believe this is the same thing during Jesus' time. There were two enemies to obedience that he was grappling with. That's why he had to redefine what obedience is all about. The first, okay, I'll just use ang theological term dito is antinomianism. But it simply means licentiousness or anything goes. It's a license that because Jesus died for me, then I can do whatever I want. I can sin. I'll just go to God and ask forgiveness. Okay? Do you know what that means? It's presuming on the grace of God. It's having a license. And it was present during his time, just as it is today. There are sectors, Christian sectors, okay? Evangelicals, or those who proclaim that they are Christians, who teach that it's okay. God will forgive. There's no such thing as eternal punishment. Because God is a God of love. He will not punish. They will not send people to hell. Okay? Nire-redefine na what grace really means. Okay? That's antinomianism. It simply means against the law. Anti and nomos. Okay? The other extreme is what we call legalism. Very true no time ni Jesus, totoo pa rin ngayon. May mga ganun, oh, you cannot drink. You cannot wear pants sa mga babae. Yeah? Dapat, I mean, certain, you dress certain way. Of course, there are principles, but it's about do's and don'ts more than the spirit of the law. Let me tell you, legalism and antinomianism or licentiousness is what Jesus was trying to redefine about obedience. You see, the Pharisees, ang concept nilang obedience or ang expression nila ng obedience were three things. Their obedience was external, their obedience was partial, and their obedience was because of self-glorification. I mean, you can read it in the Gospels. You can read it in Matthew chapter 23, all of these. When Jesus was rebuking, woe to you, Pharisees and scribes. External, that means it's for show. Their obedience was for show. So that people will see. Okay? They were very strict against committing against adultery, theft, okay, or stealing, and you know, murder, but they had no conscience regarding impure thoughts or covetousness or greed or hatred or being cold, a coldness of heart towards God. In fact, they tried to add to the laws of God. They added 600 commandments. Okay? Aside from the 10 commandments, or there are 625 commandments given by God. They added 600 more and 3,000, okay, do nots, ordinance not to do. They're at addition so that it's very, very external. Very, very external. It's for show. And let me tell you, sometimes we can still be guilty of that if we are not careful. Right? Our obedience can be external. It's for show. Why do you fast? Why do you give? Why do you attend on Sunday? Why do you go to your small group? Why do you do the things that you do? Remember what God told Samuel when he was trying to look for the next king of Israel. Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. You may attend here. You may do all the external things But let me tell you, God is looking at your heart. You know, when I was teaching prayer, there's a quote that I like to always repeat. It's always better to pray. In regards to prayer, it's always better for prayer to be heart without words than words without heart. Okay? Did you get that? As in anything we do in Christianity. But particularly worship and prayer, it's better to be your heart to be without words. In other words, hindi mo ma-express, tahimik ka lang, but your heart is worshiping and praying. Rather than you have a lot of words without heart, which the Pharisees were guilty of. But of course, the best is to have heart with words. But God is always looking at our heart. And the Pharisees were guilty of external obedience. Not only that, they were guilty of partial obedience. Sabihin mo sa katabi mo, partial. Okay? They laid more stress upon the ceremonial aspects more than the moral aspects of the law. When they paid their tithe, talagang kakalculate nila yan. Lahat ng mint, lahat ng ano, calculate nila. Para sigurado. Okay? Pag nagda-tithe sila. Very, very precise. But Jesus rebuked them. Yes, you do all of these things. You tithe your cumin, your mint. But you forget the weightier part of the law, which is justice, mercy, and grace. Remember, he rebuked the Pharisees? Matthew 23. You can read it again. So it's partial. Nag-o-obey sila ng certain parts, but they omit. And Jesus talked about the weightier or the meatier parts, yung mas importanteng aspect ng law. Partial. And it was for self-glorification. Okay? Self-glorification. They were fasting at street corners para malaman ng tao nagpa-fast sila. Diba? They have long faces. Hindi sila naliligo para, wow, ang tindi nito. 10 days na. Sa malayo pa lang, alam mo nagpa-fast kasi naaamoy mo na. It was all for show. It was all for show. The motive was for self-glorification rather than for the glory of God. Listen, when Jesus came, He redefined what true obedience is all about. Because we are to glorify God through our practice, through our life, through our practice and through our preaching, through our life and example and through what we teach. What did Jesus say? You teach others to obey the whole law. Not partial, not external. Remember, internal will cause the external. If you are obeying out of your heart, it will come out of your actions. If your prayers, if your worship is out of your heart, it will come out of your mouth. That's what Jesus said. What is inside of you will come out. Right? It's internal, but it is proven by your external. It is complete, not partial. And it is for God's glory, not for our own personal glory. That's why in victory, we do things to honor God. Right? To honor God. And to make disciples is the external aspect, the fruit of our lives glorifying God. We can make disciples without honoring God. Right? That's why Jesus was redefining obedience. It's both. Amen? So, okay, Pastor, so what? What does it mean for as Jesus redefined obedience? Let me tell you, obedience is a fruit of faith and love. Let me repeat that. Obedience is a fruit of faith and love. Let me prove it to you. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." You know what? For God, God equates love with obedience. God equates obedience with love. Okay? Look at that. God equates loving Him with obeying His commandments. Now, let me tell you, we obey God not to gain favor from God. We obey because we love God. When you love someone, you will willingly want to do things for that person. Amen? Right? I heard a story. I mean, my children, you know, are helping in the household chores, and sometimes I would give them rewards, okay? I would give them some money, you know, as they help. But I heard of this story about this little boy, okay? As he was doing his household chores, he left a note to his mother. Sabi niya, for washing the dishes, 30 pesos. For cleaning my room, 50 pesos. For cleaning the dark garden and removing the leaves, raking the leaves, 100 pesos. Total, 180 pesos. Mom, you owe me 180 pesos. Love, your son. So he gave the note. And then, nakita ng mommy yung note while he was in school. And so while he was at school, okay, she put 180 pesos on his table and left a note which says, "For bearing you 9 months in the womb and taking care of you when you threw up for 3 months, no charge. For cooking your breakfast every day, no charge. For washing and ironing your clothes every day, no charge. For staying up all night every time you were sick, no charge. For taking you wherever you want to go, no charge. Total grace." She did it because she loved. It was not because she needed to do it. That's why God equates love with obedience. Obedience with love. The motive is love and faith. It is a fruit of faith in what He has done for us. And it's a fruit of our love for Him. It's not because, "Lord, I'm gonna do this so that I can earn your favor, so that ibigay mo ito, Lord, sa akin." I mean, sometimes we're guilty of that, especially in desperate measures, right? Pag kailangan, "Lord, i-answer mo lang yung prayer. Lord, talagang susundin na kita. I mean, Lord, talagang mag-attend na ako ng LO13. Lord, talagang tatalikurin ka." I mean, we do that every now and then. But for God, those doesn't count. Counts is love, obedience out of love. We obey not so that God can love us more, but because we love God. Amen? So, Jesus redefined His mission. Jesus redefined obedience. And finally, Jesus redefined righteousness. Sabihin mo sa katabi mo, righteousness. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Eh, matindi yun. You will not enter or never enter the kingdom of heaven unless you exceed or surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. And let me tell you, matindi yung righteousness ng Pharisees and scribes. Do you know that they have memorized the Old Testament? They have memorized the Old Testament. And they obey, let me review my notes, kung ano may mga Okay? Aside from the 10 commandments, they added 248 commands, 365 prohibitions, 1,521 amendments to the commandments in order to make sure that they would not use God's name in vain. They do not mention His name at all. The name Yahweh, YHWH, the tetragrammaton, it's called the unspeakable name of God in Jewish. No one would dare speak that name because the Pharisees say, you cannot. So that it's to make sure that we will not use that name in vain. Let's not use it at all. In fact, they use another term when they want to address God. They use the term Hashem, which means the name. I mean, can you imagine? The name that's been given to them, revealed to them through Moses, they could not call on the name that was given to them because they were afraid to use God's name in vain. They added all of these things. I mean, this is a whole other preaching about talking about Jesus Christ and the name above all names. But that's just an example of this. They would, to avoid sexual temptation, they would lower their heads and not look at any woman at all. So, if I were a Pharisee, okay, yung mga lalaki lang titignan ko. So, pag ano nakaganto ako, ma'am, ano bang pangalan niyo? Can you imagine? Ganun ang ginawa nila. That is the type of righteousness. But Jesus was saying, you have to surpass this type of righteousness. Huh? Pastor, paano yun? How can we surpass that type of righteousness? The righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, let me tell you again, connected to sa kanina, their righteousness and obedience was very external and partial, right? And for self-glorification as well. That's why Jesus did something for us that we could never do. Because it's almost impossible for us, just on the external side, to surpass in our own efforts the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. He did something for us that we could never do. And I believe, okay, just very quickly, I'll give this object lesson from the scripture itself, as Paul gave us. Very quickly, Romans chapter 7, I believe it's an object lesson about righteousness and talking about marriage. Okay? Let me read it very quickly. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as he lives? Next verse. Okay? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Verse 3, accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. And finally, verse 4, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit from God. Let me illustrate it this way. Sino dito ang single women? Single woman na ano, okay? Gusto mag-volunteer sa object lesson na to. It's okay. Diane, gusto mo? Tinuturo, nagtuturo? Sinong gusto nyo? Both in. Oh, Diane, sorry. Teka, may mic ba tayo ito? Okay. Ano yung ideal man mo? Oh, ito na lang, ideal man. Kunyari, in terms of looks, first.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Walang specific. I mean, kunyari is among the celebrities. Parang sino? Type?
Victor Baza.
Victor Baza. Oh, okay ba yung taste niya diyan? Okay. In terms of, kunyari, ito yung ideal, ito yung perfect man for you. Okay? Victor Baza. Looks like Victor Baza ay yung intellect. Gaano katalino? Gusto mo? Parang si?
Pag intellect?
Yung ano?
Einstein, grabe.
Albert Einstein. Ayaw mo? Anong sumo?
Ayaw ko nun. Baka di na kami makapag-usap.
Oh, perfect man sa'yo. Yung alam mo, wow, tindi to.
Pastor Winston.
Pastor Winston, yung intellect. Yes. Okay. Okay, in terms of athleticism o yung physical, ano niya? Or as an athlete, kunyari. Steph Curry?
Sige, siya na lang.
Steph Curry.
Sabi nila.
Yung humor. Kaninang humor ang gusto mo?
Hindi. Yung ba yung natatawa ko lagi? Hmm? Alang hirap naman po, Pastor Edgar. Kasi baka joke lang.
Ha? Kahit ano, wala kang comedian na gusto?
Nakalimutan ko na.
Ayaw. Wala.
Okay lang.
Oh, sige. Okay. So, Victor Basa, Pastor Winston, kasing talino ni Pastor Winston, kasing kisig ni Steph Curry, right? Kasing funny ni... Sino? Babalu. Kailala ba niyo si Babalu? O si Dolphy na lang, mas ano? Kailala niyo si Dolphy, di ba? O kasing funny ni Dolphy. They know that they say that true love happens when that perfect man is kasing guwapo ni Dolphy, kasing talino ni... Baliktad lahat. No. Okay. Thank you, Diane. Sige, you can have a seat. Yun lang naman. Pero, imagine this. You're married to that person. Perfect person. Perfect niya, di ba? Kasi lahat. But, okay, that perfect person would always tell you what is wrong with you. Every time you make a mistake, perfect siya. Tayo, hindi naman tayo perfect. Right? Every time you make a mistake, your perfect husband will tell you, oops! Alam ko iniisip mo. Oops! Okay? May sinabi kang mali. Oops! Okay? May ginawa kang mali. Every time you would do something wrong, that perfect husband of yours would always grill you. Now, question, gusto pa niya ng perfect husband? But that's what it says. We were married to a perfect husband, the law. And that's why every time we sin, every time we commit a mistake, we would always be reminded of our sinfulness. We would always be reminded of our imperfection. That's what the law is. He's perfect. And so, anong sabi ni Paul? Mag-divorce daw tayo. Right? We need to be divorced from the law. We need to be separated from the law. Verse 2 or 3 first. Okay? But, ang problema, sabi dito, we can be divorced or we can be separated from our husband if the husband dies. Di ba? Pwede tayong mag-asawa ulit pag namatay yung husband. Unfortunately, the law who is perfect does not die. Perfect na at saka forever, sabi ni Jesus kanina, di ba? Forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, the law, will always remain. So what now? We are in a problema. May problema tayo, right? Yes, we're married to a perfect husband. So that, mag-isip kayo ulit ha, kung gusto niyo mag-married ng perfect husband. Okay? But hindi na mamatay yung husband na yon. So anong dilema na? Paano ngayon? The answer is, tayo ang dapat mamatay. So verse 4 says this, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he wants us to identify with his life and with his death and with his resurrection. Because when we die with him, we identify. Tayo yung namatay, hindi yung law. That's why now that we have died to ourselves, we are now raised with Jesus Christ. We have a new bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, this is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Whenever the law would say, oops, alam ko iniisip mo, he would have to go through Jesus Christ. And Jesus would say, I have completed all the things that you require. So he could never go to you again, Diane, and say, oops, alam ko iniisip mo. Because we have perfect. Ang tawag doon is called imputed righteousness. The righteousness that belongs to Christ by virtue of us in faith being identified as we put our faith in Him. He gives us His righteousness so that the law will not accuse or condemn us anymore because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's imputed righteousness. Righteousness is imputed or given to us through Jesus Christ. But not only that is it imputed, the righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees and Sadducees is called imparted. That means we are not only righteous by standing, our righteousness can also be seen through our life. Imputed righteousness is called justification. Imparted righteousness is sanctification. It's both. We cannot separate both. As we live our life in faith, this righteousness internally will be seen externally in our lives. That's how Jesus redefined righteousness and obedience for all of us. And that's why as I end this evening, I hope you appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for all of you. Because Jesus, through His death, Jesus came and redefined our righteousness and obedience through faith in what He has accomplished for us. Amen? Let's bow down and pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for coming here, redefining what we cannot accomplish for ourselves. Complete obedience. Perfect righteousness. Thank You that You've given us Your righteousness and You imparted Your righteousness by Your Spirit so that we can live this out. And today and tonight, before I end this and turn this over, I want you to understand something, church. There's one more thing that Jesus, when we give our life to Him, there's one more thing that He redefines. He redefines our identity. He redefines our purpose. He redefines where we are going. That's why wherever you are today, whatever situation you may be facing, God can redefine the situation as you put your trust in Him. As you put your trust in what He has done for you. That's why this evening, before we close, I want to pray for you. If you are in a situation where, Lord, you said, Lord, or Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I've given my life to Christ, but it seems like things are not falling into place. I want you to understand. You continue to surrender and say, Lord Jesus, conform me to who You are. Redefine me according to Your purpose, not my own. For Your glory, not my own. For Your will, not my own. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Just lift your hands. I'll pray quickly. And I'll turn this over. Just raise your hand if that's you. You need Jesus to continue to redefine you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak to everyone who's raising their hand. Lord, thank You that You have come not only to redefine for us obedience and righteousness, but You have redefined who we are in Christ. Our identity, our purpose, and our destination. And so I pray that You would give them faith to endure, faith to persevere, and faith to overcome their current situation, Lord God. Redefine, Father, redefine their situation, their challenges according to Your ultimate purpose, which is to conform us to Your image in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.